Blog Talk Radio.
EHB Services, LLC, for all of your financial needs. We are a licensed brokerage with years of experience in the financial industry. Let's discuss your financial DNA, saving for college, planning for your retirement, preparing for milestone birthdays, and significant investments such as house, car, or boat. Call Gene at 855-411-0424. You can also follow him on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, Radio Land. Welcome to another Tuesday of Let's Talk About Your Finances. I'm your host, Eugene Bias. I'm here to educate you on what's out there, what's available, and what's the different categories are in your finances and how to plan for the future. Tonight is a very special night, as it was last week. We spoke about children, juveniles, because in the month of June, a lot of parents have the ability to enjoy their children moreover than any other month of the year. Because at some point in time, they'll graduate from high school, they'll graduate from middle school, elementary, college, and even our little ones that graduate from nursery. I think it's very important that I continue the segment from last weekend regarding this topic, because it's something that's unheard of, something that is not generally discussed or become a conversation for the dining room at Thanksgiving, at Christmas, Easter, and all the other times that we celebrate with our loved ones. I'd be most remorse not to encourage every parent to consider protecting their children, protecting their loved ones. Because, and tonight we're going to get a little deeper than we did last Tuesday. When a chronic illness is coming, it doesn't tell you. It just shows up. So it's critical and terminal illnesses. And I'm not sure that based on the questions that I got last week that everyone understand or have looked up what these are. And we need to really know this as a people, as a community. We need to make sure that we let our people know, our loved ones know, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren know about these illnesses and how it can affect them in years to come. And by having things in place so that they're able to utilize the opportunities of being secure in their family, they won't be able otherwise to be insurable. Because one of the things in the insurance industry is that we have to prove insurability. We have to prove insurability. And there's a couple of things that the insurance company does that makes us uninsurable. And these are the things that I want to talk about tonight, because there are different elements to this, and without being educated, and I am a true believer that we should be educated, we should be informed. This is the information age, okay? And for those of you who are young like me would understand when we say the information age. You have everything to your fingertip, and maybe we don't use it in our research effectively. Maybe we just don't know how. Okay? Maybe we just don't know how. Okay? So tonight I want to talk about the big ones. I want to talk about the things that happen in our life. For whatever reason, life happens. But our younger generation, our younger generation are turning up with more of these illnesses, of which many insurance companies doesn't accept the risk to insure them with certain complaints. So we need to look at what those risks are, okay? What those risks are. And when we get into the whole risk factor, okay, when we get into the whole risk factor, we need to have our pens and pencils out so we can go through it in great detail. You may want to call a friend, a neighbor, a loved one, and ask them to join us. Because I'm going to give some statistics here that no one consider during pregnancy. It's part of their preparation for pregnancy. But it happens. Life happens, my friends. And I want to share it with you because it's very important that we have it covered in our knowledge base. You know, we know that when we get ill, you know, the basics. We get ill, we go to the doctor, or we try some home remedies and all that nice stuff. But what we don't know is when the big ones. And tonight, our show is surrounding our young adults, our infants. What can happen? Now, a lot of people think that insurance companies only pay out when someone dies. Gone are those days when an insurance company would do that. Those days are long gone. If anyone that's hearing me, that has the ability to hear me, out there in Radio Land or on Facebook or any media, Block Talk Radio, that hears me tonight, I encourage you, and that towards the end of the show, I'll put up a link for you to follow and get a quote. Get a quote on everyone that you love, everyone that you care for. You'll be able to go on my webpage after going on Let's Learn Money group or Gene Bias Facebook page. You'll be able to go on there and get a link. And that link is going to bring you to my page with one of the companies that I represent and give you a sense and a feel for what you can start with. Okay? We're not going to get into laddering and a lot of insurance. But understanding what's available out there for your loved ones and how affordable it is to protect them, that in case something happens. There's a number of unforeseen circumstances that exist. A number of unforeseen circumstances that exist today in our community, in our lives. Some we get caught blindsided. For example, school shootings are up. You know, thinking about our loved ones. You know, we take them to school, to elementary school. It breaks my heart to see these things happening. We take them to school. We expect them to go and get an education. We expect them to go and learn. And then we either hear on the news or we get that ugly phone call that something happened at school that is not within the curriculum. And I'm not talking about fighting or being rude to their teachers. There's a number of people, a number of associates of mine who no longer listen to the news. I think it's very wrong. Very, very wrong. And they need to think about it. They need to think about it. So tonight I need us to get into it, get down and dirty, what's out there, and what can happen. Okay? They are approximately 10 common chronic conditions for children under the age of 14. And these conditions are life-changing conditions because our youngsters would have a problem in the future. they wouldn't be insurable. They would not be insurable. Or even if they are insurable, their rates will be very high. Now, 6 in 10 adults, okay, going into stats, in the U.S. has a chronic disease. 6 in 10 has a chronic disease. And 4 in 10 adults in the U.S. have 2 or more chronic disease. Okay? Now, the leading cause of death and disabilities and the lending driver of the nation, $3.8 trillion in health, is healthcare costs. So people are not getting treated. They're not seeing the doctor regularly because of healthcare costs. My friends, I ask you, I beg you, I plead with you to do one thing, if nothing else, in your life, is to make regular visits to your doctor. Take your loved ones along. You know, years gone by, and I say years gone by, for a reason. My kids would tell you that we had a theory, and that theory is you will go to the doctor, to the dentist on a regular basis, and we will go together. We need to make this just not for our kids, our loved ones, to go back to school, to pass a qualifying factor with the bare bone minimal to go back to school. We need to think a little bit more constructive, a little more constructive as to how we can do more, get more. Sugary drinks, fatty foods. And I'm sure I'll be preaching to the choir. I don't have to tell the parents all the lovely things. Okay? That can be an issue. High cholesterol. High cholesterol. We have to be concerned about it. It's on the rise, okay? Hypertension is on the rise. Cancers is on the rise. Diabetes is on the rise. Heart disease. Stroke, ulcers, asthma, kidney diseases, and chronic bronchitis. Those are the most common that's on the rise in our society today. The children that are born generally does not born with these complaints. But it happens. Life happens. Are they insurable once diagnosed? The insurance companies has given you the opportunity as a parent to protect your loved one, to protect your children from the harsh reality of you having the full whammy, as it would be, of these conditions. But then a lot of young people, young adults, are in the unique situation where they have depression or depressive disorder. Okay? And then there's a number of depressive disorders. And I can understand parents don't want to deal with it, don't want to accept. It's sad, but it's a fact. They don't want to accept that their child is bipolar. Okay? They don't want to accept that their child suffers from seasonal affective disorder. Okay, and then the premenstrual disorder that our young females experience, and so on and so forth. But when we leave it unattended, when we leave these conditions unattended, what happens? What happens? As the child grows older and the child become more into the world, start to do more worldly things, and these things are starting to affect that child is no longer a baby. You did nothing about it when they were small. Now there goes that child's life. Is that child insurable? No. That child goes and stays in an institution, spends some time in an institution, be prescribed certain medication, and as soon as the insurance company does a script search, there you go. That child is no longer insurable. Same for diabetes. Chronic heart conditions. Okay? Now, the critical ones are even worse. Are even worse. Kidney failures. How many children, how many parents are in the unique situation that feel that they're having a normal, regular birth of their pride and joy, the child that they wanted, and that child born with a birth defect that's affecting that child's kidney? How about when you find out whether that child is 6 months, a year, 2 years? For the rest of that child's life, that child is uninsurable. The insurance company don't want to take that risk because buying insurance is transferring the risk and the responsibilities to the insurance company. It's also the preparation that should there be a critical, chronic, or terminal illness.
We transfer the risk. We as parents, we transfer the risk to the insurance company. How do we as parents leave a legacy for our children, build a financial life for ourselves? Are not able or don't consider doing the same for our children. Major organ transplant, such as a heart, your kidney, your lungs, your liver, bone marrow. Those are critical to your existence. Those are critical illnesses. I was looking at a show last night, I think it was, before I fell off to sleep, of a young man, paralysis, step in. He had permanent loss to his limbs. Young boy. Is he ever going to be insurable? Yes, his mother and his father is taking care of him today. I agree. Yes, his mother and father is here for him today. 150% agree. What happens when his mother and father and grandparents are not able to be around anymore, to care for him? What would his life turn to? I mean, people no longer complain or talk about HIV like they used to and get involved in the HIV world. But it's children born with AIDS. Full-blown AIDS. And not all of them are detected at birth. 14 days after birth, you can have a policy for that child. That birth is insurable. Where are we? What are we doing as a people? So I'm here to ask everyone to please think about securing your loved ones at a tender age, providing that financial legacy for them, very young and early in their lives, and be able to mark it off your to-do list. You make a to-do list for everything you want to have for the child. You know the cradle you want, you know the color of the bedroom, the color scheme, you know whether you're going to buy unisex or you're going to buy sex-specific clothing for the kids, you know, you want your baby to look a certain way when they go out with grandma and grandpa and when they're with you, all that stuff. But there's more important things to consider. And one of the things that we need to consider, we should consider, and I plead with you to consider, is the ability to secure that child, your loved one, at a tender age, days out. So the critical element factor, a lot of people, like myself, who was once young, I mean, having a family, would say, that wouldn't happen to my child. That wouldn't happen to my child. My child, I'm going to have a healthy baby. We all want a lot, but we all cannot dictate what we will get. We all want a lot. The unfortunate situation with it, We cannot dictate what we get. There is things that happen in the background to our genes. There's things that happen in the background with eggs. There's a number of things, and I'm nowhere a doctor. But from reading and research, I can tell you there's a number of scientific elements to take into consideration during the conception period. Okay? Who prepares for these things? Well, I ask myself the question. Children are going to have cancer. Why would children have cancer? Then I ask the question a different way. Why is this in Jude Hospital? If it wasn't a problem, we got a whole hospital in this country, the United States of America, amongst other countries and other hospitals, just for juvenile cancer treatments. So it's a real problem. And it's something that we need to address. We need to take into consideration. I know some of you that's on the call and on Facebook, I got some messages here, is saying that we went over this last week, but we did not conclude. I'm hoping that we can wrap it up this week, because I'm passionate about it. As a parent, and for those of you who know me well, I'm a very proud person. And my life surrounds kids. There's many things that can go wrong, and I would look the other way. But when a child is concerned, it has my attention. I love children. I'm a father of many, and a friend of a lot of children that I would like to see have a different life, a better life going forward in their life. I can help some. I can't help them all. But grandparents and parents out there, godparents, I'm telling you, it's something that we need to have a conversation with the parents of our newborn, and let them know that we need to do something for them at an early age. You can give me a call. Let's sit down and map it out. What can we do? Okay? There's even some tax benefits associated with it. Speak to your accountant. Find out. Last week we spoke about some tax benefits. But the first half of the program, I want to discuss, and I'm passionate about this, is the three big elements: chronic, critical, and terminal illnesses in juveniles. Okay? There were some things that we used to say, don't worry about it, that's an old person disease. Yes, we're right. It used to be. But we've seen it more in younger people. What are we doing about it as a people? Well, I'm not a scientist. I can't tell you if there's medicines to fix it. I'm not in a research lab. I wish I was. It's not my forte. But what I'm here to teach you is how to protect your family from these unforeseen circumstances. Okay? How to protect your family from unforeseen circumstances. How do you bring the hospital to the home? It takes money to do that. But do you understand that at the time of taking out the insurance, there's no 2-year look back because the child haven't been on the face of the earth for 2 years? Will you transfer that risk? You do the sensible thing and transfer the risk. And the insurance policy is in place to transfer the risk. So you don't have to think about it. You don't have to worry about it. It's an investment. You transfer the risk to the insurance company. And they have to deal with it. Now, look at, we had Dan on from Plum Life. Look at how cheap an insurance policy is with that company. And you can do $750,000 without doing any medical, without the visit of a doctor or a nurse. So these things we have to take into consideration. We have to look at. Okay? We need to know what we're doing for our loved ones. Then we go into the big one, the ones that we never want to discuss, the ones that if you are a West Indian or from Africa, some Asian countries, that are never discussed, never discussed. It's sad, but it's never discussed. Because it's frowned upon. We have a lot of parents, grandparents, great-grandparents that we know. We know they're either drinking some bush or they're going to the doctor, but no one speaks about what's wrong, the true problem. And I know that there's a lot of West Indian people and African people that are listening to our program tonight, and most of them would agree with what I'm saying. There's a lot of things that are not discussed in the West Indian community. There's a lot of things that are not discussed in the African community. Terminal illness. Oh, my Lord. A terminal condition or illness is one that is life-limiting. It's life-limiting. In the near future, it is expected that the illness will result in permanent unconsciousness from which the person is unlikely to recover or die. Well, I had a good friend, a very good friend, young man, 52 years old. He thought he was made of iron and steel. He went into the hospital to have his appendix removed. The diagnosis, the prognosis from the doctor was that his appendix was inflamed. During the pandemic, his family dropped him off at the hospital door to be treated for his appendix. A short while later, they were told that he was going for surgery to remove his appendix. He died some 3 months later. It wasn't his appendix. He has stomach cancer. So let's talk about real life. Let's talk about what's going on and what we're doing and what we're seeing. This is the real world. Now, in our world, we'll say that's an old man because he's 50, 52. Well, that's a young man. So I have another one for you. And I can give you multiple examples. I'm just going to give you a few. I personally know someone a bit on the obese side, you know, a couple of love handles, in their 40s, went to the doctor. Regular routine of the doctor. It's summertime, so we go to the doctor, make sure our bill of health is fine. He goes to the doctor, and he does some blood work, and the doctor comes back and says, we have a problem. So he looks up in the air, and he says, what's new? The doctor says, based on my findings, you're no longer a good candidate for me to see once or twice a year. I have to see you every month. Lord have mercy. What went wrong? Something changed. Now, the doctor is a specialist doctor, so he sent the person back to their primary care physician for some further testing and investigation by another field of doctors. It is determined that person has a leaking bowel. So their inside are being poisoned by their daily consumption. So I ask myself the question, how old do you be, or do you have to be? Why are there so many concentration on chronic or terminal illnesses now? What have changed? Younger people are getting ill. Younger people are getting what we used to call, or what we used to term, old people disease. When you hear that, you would consider someone in the 70s and 80s, and I'm not trying to be mean, you know, grandpa is laying in the room, we don't know what's wrong with him, you know, he'll be treated, that kind of stuff. Great. Grandma is ill, she's not doing well. You go, you take her some water, you sit with her for a while. You know, these are the things that we consider. But who consider the facts that now people that are younger are experiencing these concern, these type of diseases, these critical and terminal illnesses that exist? So I need us to think about it for our loved ones and ensure that our babies at a young age, so that they can have the ability to be insurable in the future. Now, we might take out a policy for them that we can afford, you know, a $50, $60, $40 policy, give them a ton of coverage for a long period of time, you know, until they're in their 30s, you know, and then we give them a little warning, you know, you need to update this policy. You need to do something about it. They will thank you later. You may not be around to hear the thanks, but they'll thank you later because they'll remember when they go to get a policy and they're not able to get a policy. Auntie, mommy, daddy, uncle, grandma, grandpa, godmother, godfather, or as the British would say, me nan, took this policy out for me. And they will find great joy and pleasure in doing the same, passing it down from generation to generation. It is my humblest opinion that in my own humble way, I have decided to do it for my children and my grandchildren. So I'm not telling you to do something. I'm not telling you that I'm selling insurance, come and buy insurance from me. I'm educating you on what's out there. I'm educating you of what can possibly happen. And I'm also educating you so you know that these things happen and you're aware of it. Now, there's some hard statistics we need to think about. We need to consider because we are an educated society. But do we practice or do we always practice what we preach? The World Health Organization, have published some darning figures, okay? Between 2000 and 2016, there was a 5% increase in premature mortality from diabetes. Premature death was up 5% from diabetes. Diabetes is the major cause of blindness, kidney failure, heart attack, stroke, and lower limbs amputation. Diabetes is a killer. How many of us have heard about fetal diabetes? Now, gestational diabetes have become what I would call common. It could never be normal. Common. And for those of you who don't know what gestational diabetes is when you have diabetes during pregnancy and then it magically go away after the pregnancy. You know, the one that your loved ones gave you the baby. Okay? What are we doing? What is the risk factor involved? Now, I'm not a doctor, but I'll ask questions. Does the enzymes of that cause the diabetes, the lack of production of insulin from the pancreas, if I read that correctly, or the lack thereof of your body becoming insulin resistant. You know, some people say, why do you like to read? I enjoy reading so I can expand my horizons. In 2019, we're in 2022, the World Health Organization have put out the stats saying diabetes was the ninth cause of death, with an estimated 1.5 million deaths directly caused by diabetes. Diabetes. We need to be concerned about what our youngsters are taking in. How many of you know someone that has type 2 diabetes? If a 15-year-old, and I want you guys to listen to these numbers, if a 15-year-old is diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, it takes 15 years. This is not my words. This is not my creation. This is not my research. 15 years off of that child lifespan. A 15-year-old, it takes about 12 years off of that child lifespan. So at 15 years old, that child have become uninsurable. Now, when that child contract, because diabetes leads to other major illnesses, like you can develop kidney problems. You're likely to become blind or get amputated. Even now, with today's medicine, proper early diagnosis, people have a chance, an excellent chance of living longer. Live longer, I agree. Live healthier, I endorse. Live longer, I agree. Live healthier, I endorse. Now I share a little secret with you. My loving, darling bear have embarked on a journey with me, amongst other journeys, to be on a specific diet to watch our intake and our life expectancy, to minimize our risk to certain diseases. And we have been on a path of heightening our knowledge, about what's in the food today that's causing us or causing people as a society problems. And I would say this without any reservation to anyone, my life, her life, have changed for the better. And we need to think about that. We have made lifelong lifestyle changes. So expand our life expectancies. And it's something that we have imparted on our children, our nieces, our nephews, our loved ones, so that they can have a longer life and a better life. So it's very important for us to understand and know and be aware that children at the age of 14 days has the ability to get coverage. 14 days of age. A life insurance does not only pay out when you die. A life insurance does not only pay out when you die. It pays 90% of the face value of the policy the moment you are determined to be critically ill, terminally ill, or chronically ill. So, let's say everyone on this call is hearing me tonight, decide to take me up on the offer. Parents, if you were to take out a $750,000, the max, $750,000 policy on your child, it's going to be so low, so cheap, that should that child becomes critically ill, terminally ill, or chronically ill, you can make that determination outside of your medical insurance policy. Whether you want a nurse to come home and look after that child and care for your child, or you want the child to stay in hospital, you can subsidize what the health insurance is going to pay for. You can be your own subsidy, because the life insurance company will give you $675,000 towards the care of that child. $675,000. I don't know if anybody hearing me. Now, you say, well, then they give me $675,000. I ask you the question this way. Can you live comfortably knowing that you have a chronically ill, critically ill, or terminally ill child in your house that you're able to give the best of the best for whatever life the child will have for however long? You're not taking out insurance because the child is ill. You're planning in case the child gets ill. That's the difference. At the same time, you are still left with $75,000 that you will receive upon the child expiration, upon the demise of the child. So let's think about it. Let's think about it. I ask everyone to give that a think. Because if that child, God forbid it never happened, but it happens every day, if that child becomes terminally ill and given less than 12 months to live, regardless of the amount you paid in premiums, regardless of the length of time you have the policy, you will get $750,000. $750,000, the full face value of the policy. Now, if you guys want more than that, tell me. These are the things that we have to look at. These are the things we have to consider, okay, for our juveniles to give them a better life, for them to be able to enjoy some sort of life should they be diagnosed. The better part of the conversation is when they become older, they don't have to prove insurability. So even if, God forbid, that one of these complaints come upon them, they don't have to prove insurability. So it's preparing a legacy, making a life, and making that preparation for that child. Our lives as an adult is equally important. I agree. 100%. But do you know the statistics show that a 75-year-old male with diabetes, 75 years old with diabetes, might expect to live for another 4 to 9 years compared to someone without diabetes whose life expectancy is for 10 years. But a 55-year-old with type 2 diabetes could expect to live for another 13 to 21 years. 30 to 21 years. While the life expectancy for someone without diabetes at 55 years old, the life expectancy is 24 years or more. Diabetes is a real problem. It's a real problem. And type 2 diabetes are being found not in 80-year-olds anymore. It's our young buck. And our younger age has higher risk and less healthy control for diabetes. So what are they saying here? And this is not my stats. This is the research that I find. Your BMI, your body mass index, obesity love it. They love to call diabetes with obesity. We need to think about it. We need to do something about it. We need to make lifestyle changes. At the same time, protect our family and loved ones. Now, for those of you out there in Radio Land, Facebook, Rock Talk Radio, I'm not here to sell you anything. I'm here to make you aware. I'm here for you to understand that there are things out there that's available to your loved ones. Okay? We need to think about it. We need to give it some consideration. And we need to speak to our loved ones, the youngsters, about what is out there, what's available to our offspring, our loin. Okay? We need to think about it. We put a lot of things on our checklist and we mark it off. But do we mark off security? We plan where we want to live, what school district we want us to live in. We know where we want our children to get a better education, a higher education. We know where we want our sons or daughters to be involved in sports, what area we can have sports. You know, we think about stuff like that. My darling there have traveled hundreds of miles just to give her child a better life. You have to plan these things. And as parents, you want to be responsible to plan these things and put these things in place. I agree. But when are you going to plan and put things in place for your loved ones? We spoke about college planning last week and the different steps in college planning. We got to consider the goals of the children, not our goals. We lived our life. What the child want to do? We want our children to be in the biggest profession. We want to be doctors and lawyers and accountants. We don't want them to run around being a clown. They're building more prisons every day. We don't want them to be visiting our children in prison. We want them to have higher education. What are we putting in place as parents? What are we doing as parents to ensure that our children get there? Are we looking at different institutions? Are we researching different institutions? Are we living in the right zip code? Are we living in the right state? Do we own our home? Is it time for a change? Is it time to rent out and move? Is it time to sell? You want our children to go to certain colleges. You don't want our children to be treated as an out-of-state learner. Are we putting away for that child? Where are we in the college planning? We want a child to go to a four-year college, a two-year community college, a four-year university? Are they going to go to grad school? Where is the planning? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? How many of us is taking the tax advantage to save for that child? How many of us have the 529 plan for that child? Well, people say to me, "Ah, that's a lot of money." My rebuttal to that is, if you think that education is expensive, try ignorance. Every day you turn the TV on, you see people shooting. Look at their ages. They're not 50 and 60 anymore. The gang wars that we suffered in the 90s and the early 2000s, they're not there anymore. Why? Are we taking our tax benefits? We're taking our refunds. Oh, we're not going to touch that one. Okay? Anyone can open a 529 account and contribute it. You are in control of the account as a parent. You have the tax benefit. And you can use a 529 plan of savings anywhere in the United States of America. Well, then why wouldn't anyone have that? Look at the tax benefits it is. Speak to your accountant. Anyone can open that account. You can remain in control. I don't know how much easier you want it to be. You can save what you want to save from the time the child was born. Now, there's an old West Indian saying that I choose to embark on. I don't know what the child is going to turn out to be. Famous West Indian excuse. You made a child, but you didn't make the mind. All those are good excuses. Now, let me help you with some good answers to those. What if that child decided to go and get a higher education? Are you prepared? What if that child decides to make a better life than you have given them? Are you prepared? Not every child is going to qualify for a scholarship, but that doesn't mean every child doesn't qualify for a good education. I'm sure you guys are not listening to me. Where is the planning? This is the time when we separate the man from the boys. Because as a parent, you don't have to know what your college tuition is going to be. Some of us is going to overfund a 529 plan. Some of us will underfund a 529 plan. So what is your backup plan? Do you have a backup plan? But instead of opening a bank account and getting 0.0001 or 0.002% interest rate for that child and call the savings account, why don't you open an IUL account? Index Universal Life Account. The child may not want to go to university, agreed. But the child may want to go to trade school. There's still trade out there. Technical school. What is a 529 savings plan? What is he on about? The funds from a 529 savings plan are invested in a target date approach. So the target date, the child born, you expect the child to live, and you have a brief idea when the child is going to go off to college or university. Some children take a year off. Some children go straight through. Some children get left back. There's no more thing. Well, you set a target date based on the child's life at birth. Okay? In mutual funds, an asset shift into less volatile towards maturity. So they take that money, they invest it in the market, yeah? But they don't put it in a volatile market. They put it in a less volatile market where you get money, you get interest, you get the turn of your money for a specific period of time. It's like a fixed deposit for those of you who know, oh Lord, I'm telling my age now, what a fixed deposit is, or a certificate of deposit. Or you can do a 529 prepaid plan. Prepaid. The funds purchase the tuition credit at today's price. At today's price. Therefore, the savings are reflected in amount saved by period that's avoiding tuition price inflation. So if the tuition price now is $40,000, by the time that child gets to age 18 and decides to go to college, the fee might be $45,000. But because you prepared for the education now, you lock it in at that $40,000. Now, there's a million questions to go with it. You have to do your research in order to get your answers. But I'll share some stuff with you that I've researched and I've seen. The 529 college plan is a college savings plan. Yeah. Then there's the Uniform Gift to Minors Act. The Uniform Gift to Minors Act. The Uniform Transfer to Minors Act. So custodial account invested in the child's name. The custodial account, you the parent, you the grandparent, you the godparent, is the custodian for the account until that child meets age 18 or 21. Depends on how it's set up, my understanding. These accounts can be used for any expense that benefits the child. So here's your argument that your child get a scholarship. Great. But does the scholarship pay for books? Does it pay for room and board? Does it pay for transportation back and forth to school? Those are active expenses that the scholarship don't pay for. But did we look at what is the annual gift tax transfer? How much taxes, how much money we can give to our children? And it's less our income in this country. Now, I know the European people are going to say to me that this doesn't apply. We don't file taxes in England. They take our money before we sit, and there's no way to get it back. Well, I got news for you. In the United States of America, we have the luxury, land of the free, home of the brave. We have the luxury of doing a tax return every year. Could you imagine if a married couple, a husband and a wife, collectively pool their resources together for the life and well-being of their child, they can give that child up to $32,000 tax-free. And a standard parent, one parent, can give the child $16,000 towards higher education. Those numbers. The minor gains control of the money at age 18 or 21, depending on the state. So, my friends, please don't fail to plan. Our children are leaving school with big bills, with a rope around their neck just to pay bills, and not being able to enjoy their degree, by having a breather, a break. The current president of the United States of America made some provision for student loans. We thank you, Mr. President. But again, that's one president. How many other presidents are going to do it? Are we going to sit down and allow our uncle, Sam, to help us out? Do we have a crystal ball to know if the next president or the next five presidents are going to do it? We take advantage of these things now while we can. There's another one called Coverdell Education. Coverdell Education. It's another savings account. It's a custodial account, so you, the adult, establish it for paying qualified education expenses that are designated by the beneficiary. So the child gets to choose what school they go to. If some of us don't want to take on the responsibility of dictating to our children, you know, the young people know more than us. It's that way in many houses. And we will accept that for all intents and purposes. But there's things to compare and contrast. There's things to compare and look at. It's not one size fit all. We have choices. And you are in control, just like a life insurance. It's a good thing to have. It's a great thing to have. A 529 plan has some eligibilities. And it has some ineligibilities. Tuition and fees. So instead of the child, let's say the child have a scholarship, but a scholarship does not pay the full whack of the tuition. By you having a 529 plan for the child, it will subsidize it. Instead of the child going and taking a SLS loan, student loan supplement, they'll be taking it from grandma, daddy, mommy, my nan, my godparents, savings that they have saved for them. It pays for room and board as long as a student is enrolled for half the time, for at least half the time. It pays for books, it pays for supplies, it pays for equipment. The child needs a new computer. The child needs a tablet. The child needs an e-book. The child needs to be tutored. What if the child needs to be tutored? It's paid for those special services. We all know that computers are constantly changing. But what if you buy them a beast, the fastest of the fast that they have? Great. But the software changes so very often. How are you getting the new and improved software? I mean, my son and I, and my daughter and I, we had a conversation last week about some software that subscription that I bought when they were young, when they were babies, actually, that helping them today in college and university, checking their work for them, make sure there's no plagiarism and that kind of stuff that make them disqualified. That they can plug it in there. Now, when I bought that stuff was about, oh my gosh, 1997. There now, the two that are currently using it are now 19 and 22. Yeah, 20 and 22. They're now using it. And they're enjoying it because they don't have to worry about buying it now. The plants have different, based on what you set up, they have different things. Now, a 529 plan does not cover transportation. And we've been talking about this for some time now for our youngsters. It does not cover transportation. But you know, I know, peer pressure, they want to have a car. So that's when we look at what the big picture is. 529 covers these things. A smart IUL, a IUL policy cover these things. That child now have what's called a rounded account. And they will thank you later. Okay, because the 529 does not pay for a car. You can't take the money from the 529 and pay for a car. Going to the days when anyone take bus, everybody wants to drive. Okay? Rent, utility, groceries off campus, all that stuff you don't have to worry about because it comes out of the 529 account. Printers, scanners, you don't have to worry about that. Equipment that is required for the course. Maybe they're doing an audio vision course. And they need cameras and podcast stands and stuff like that. You don't have to worry about that course. It comes right out of the 529. So people would say, why do you talk about a 529 plan versus permanent life insurance? Because think about it. These are things you have to sit down and talk about. Fees, assets, taxes. Okay, we have to talk about these things when planning the future for our children. A lot of us don't want to have the conversation. A lot of us don't want to have the conversation. IUL versus 529. An IUL doesn't have, IUL have a living benefit. That's why you want to have an IUL policy. It has living benefits. What if the child gets injured? What if the child becomes terminally ill? 529 does not cover you there. So there's a number of things why one versus the other. And as parents, grandparents, godparents, you need to sit down and plan. And that's why I'm here. I'm here to help you with that planning process for you to get an understanding where to go, how to get it done. You need to know what's a 529 plan. Now, I tell you, it's a college savings plan. There's a number of similar plans to it. You need to know how it works. You need to know the regulation issues that come with it. Okay, you need to know who sells the plan. And this is where I would guide you. Financial aid is a problem. And it's a problem because many parents doesn't prepare for it. For many reasons. Now, I had one person last week send me a message based on their opinion. Based on their opinion. And I would share the message. It says, Mr. Bias, how can you say that you can take care of your children because you have the financial ability, not everyone else can? You made reference to gifts and the type of gifting. Hear the words. The type of gifting in your last episode, of which not everyone could afford to receive money into their children's bank account and not use it during the time of raising the child. And I'm prepared to respond to that parent tonight. And I'm hoping that that parent is on to hear me. Or that person is on. In the beginning of the show, some months ago, back in February, I told everyone that there's going to be some life-changing things that they're going to learn. And not only that they're going to learn life-changing things, they're going to learn that I'm going to be very brutal about this, because as a society, as a people, we're not paying attention to what's important. We can talk about the Gucci and the Prada and the Dolce & Gabbana. I like those things too, don't get me wrong. And the Verbein Creed and, you know, all the fragrances because we want to smell good. We buying the Range Rovers and the Lexus and the Mercedes. I mean, all those things are nice, fine, and dandy. The problem is, when we have children, we generally would have to curtail our spending because we're no longer a single person. I've said to my children, I've said to young people, and I'll say tonight, ask the hard questions. It gets easier over time in the relationship. What is your plans? What is your education? What is your plans for our future? What is your plans for our children? Have the conversation. What type of risk are you willing to take? What kind of guarantees are you willing to stand by? Who is going to manage? Who is going to look at what's important to the family? Who's going to look at the investment options for the family? We're not going to live with mommy and daddy forever. We will not repeat that cycle. We're going to break that chain. We're going to become independent, responsible people. How are we going to do it? Those questions need to be answered in the beginning of the relationship. So you're being left emotionally and financially. The stats on divorce, is ridiculous. And 80% of the time, is things that could have been fixed from day one. It could have been fixed from day one. But we don't take the time. We don't take the time to have the discussion. And that's bad. We look at how beautiful she looks, how handsome he looks, how lovely he smells. Great. All those things are great. But those things, when you enter into the relationship, we end up with something called offspring. The expression of your longing. The statistics stats is pretty steady in a lot of states between 9 to 14%. 9 to 14%. So I'm going to randomly choose a state like Nevada. Yeah? Nevada to 2020 population is 3,238,000 people. The state capital of Carson City have produced some stats. And those stats are alarming. So we leave Nevada, and we're going to go to New York. And when we go to New York, United States Census Bureau have shown that marriage rate is up 16.3%. But the divorce rate is up 7.6%. We need to look at these things. These are very, very important factors to consider when we decide to get joined at the hip. Or as you say, your hands in love. Our children are the ones that suffer when we do not make proper informed decisions, get all the facts so that we can make an informed decision whether he or she is good for us. We must look at it. We must take it into consideration. We have to, by all costs, think about what we're doing financially, what kind of savings we're going to have. I know we all like to as my darling would say, warm flesh next to us. Great. It's human. But that comes with its fair share of responsibility. Your child may have a dream. All children have a dream as to what they want to be, where they want to be, and what they want to do. My challenge to every parent that can hear me tonight and beyond, do you have a plan? How are you accomplishing that dream? How are you assisting that child to accomplish that dream? Do you have a plan? Even the brilliant need a thoughtful plan. Even the brilliant need a thoughtful plan. Invest now into their future. Invest now. And the way I tell you to invest is very simple. You're working, let your employer take out your salary. You're a business owner, let them debit it right out to your account. So it does not involve an interaction from you, but you are accomplishing the same goal. If you never see it, you can't lose it. Let's get a head start on our children's future. Let's get an early start on it. It's important. And I would ask everyone hearing me to think about it, to speak to your loved ones about your future loin and where they can be. Where would you like them to be? It's something that needs to be spoken about. It's something that needs to be discussed. I mean, yesterday you came to the table with a newspaper and you sat and you read the news. Today no one makes it to the dinner table, just the daddy and maybe the mommy. And everybody's on their own phone and tablet. Well, when do we find time to discuss the things that matter? I humbly submit to everyone that we need to think about savings for our children. We need to look at the pros and cons. You need to give me a call, book an appointment, go on my website, on my webpage, run a course for yourself if you don't want to talk to me about it, and see how cheap it is, how reasonable it is to provide that legacy for your loved ones. The ones that our parents, or most of our parents, didn't have the opportunity to provide for us. The benefits of a 529 plan is humongous. Nearly everyone on the face of this earth that lives in the United States of America is eligible. It gives you a huge tax break. Huge. It's flexible. You can use it for either state-run college or private colleges and universities. Let me answer you young people questions. Grandma and grandpa have the ability, yes they do, to change the beneficiary because they're the owner. So grandma and grandpa, godfather, mom and dad, you can change the beneficiary at any time because you are in control. Anyone can contribute to it. My goodness. Anyone can contribute to it. It grows a ton of cash. You know what's the fun fact about it? It can even be used for culinary and trade school. My, my, my. You have prepaid tuition. Lock in the tuition rate. How many people know about locking in the tuition rate for a chosen university? Lock it in now. How many of you know to do that? Call it savings plan. It can be used at most, if not all, institutions throughout the United States of America. Why are we failing to plan? We need to put these things in place. We should put these things in place. It's very important that we put these things in place. I'm passionate about it, not because I have children, because I think every child should have a higher education. I'm of the opinion that every child should have a head start in life. Every child should have a head start in life. Our kids, we plan to have them in most cases, except for the extreme circumstances. But when we have our children, we do all the other planning, and that's why tonight I'm here to tell you, let's make this a part of your checklist. Check it off as a to-do. If you don't know how, give me a call. If you're concerned about what to do, give me a call. Let me help you. Let me teach you. Let me advise you. Okay? College planning vehicles are very, very important. Very necessary. You can build an account to the maximum of $400,000 and take a tax-free gift of up to $150,000 per child in a single year. So if you create the account for multiple children, and you're saving for multiple children, the stats show only 43% of Americans' parents own a 529 plan. Only 43%. The other plans are heart-rending numbers. Heart-rending numbers. Custodial accounts. Parents, for some reason, don't like to open savings accounts for their children. A savings and earn that the child can earn from is only 7% of United States parents does that. And the cheapest of it all is a Coverdell education savings, of which you max out at $2,000 per year per child. Whereas that child must go to school before the age of 30. So they don't have the 18 or to 21 limit. This one pushes out to 30. It's only owned by 6% of parents. Combined, we have a problem. We don't know who's the 43. We don't know who's the 7, and we don't know who's the 6. We can guess. So 56% of the people that have children have some sort of college plan, some sort of college plan for future education. 56%. Where is the other 44? For those of you who have a 529 plan, big congratulations to you. For those of you who have a custodial account, big, big consideration for you. And for the 6% who have a Coverdell Education Savings account, I applaud you. You got an A for effort. I'd be very remiss if I didn't say that we need more parents thinking and providing for their loved ones, for each and every one. I know that it's hard. Things and times are hard. But we have to make that sacrifice. We need to make that sacrifice so that we can make that better life for our loved ones. And I'm asking everyone today to give great consideration to speaking to their family, their loved one, all you godparents out there, grandparents out there, uncles and aunts, to give me a call. And let's sit down and understand what you can afford, what contribution you can make to the people that call you family, love, and loved ones. It is my greatest desire to have every child to be able to get a higher education, to make a better life, to make a better life. For those of you who know me, they know that my children and I have one conversation. Stay in school and daddy worry about the bills. Your education is my problem. You go and get the education. As long as you got an A for effort, you got anything from me. Master's degree, and so shall you. Or better. My 5-year and I, we're talking about she wants to be a doctor. She wants to go for her doctorate. And she's just 5 years old. Because we have that education conversation. We have that future life conversation. And we plan for it as a parent. We talk about it at 5 years old. Now she's 6. She still maintained it, and she wanted to be a doctor. She stated she wanted to be a doctor since she was 2 or 3 years old. I'm a proud parent, and I'm a very proud parent of my accomplishments. And I'm here to share with you what you can do for the future of our children. Again, I will say to you all, thank you for joining me. Yes, I was selfish again tonight. Next week will be a different week, I promise. But I must inform you of what is for your children, the future of tomorrow, and how we can contribute as a parent. I'm your host, Gene Bias, on Financial Talk. Let's learn money on Facebook, that we can do more together to build a better financial future for ourselves and our children. I thank you all for listening to me. I thank you all for joining our show. Have a good night, everybody.
Thank you.
EHB Services, LLC, for all of your financial needs. We are a licensed brokerage with years of experience in the financial industry. Let's discuss your financial DNA. Saving for college, planning for your retirement, preparing for milestone birthdays, and significant investments such as house, car, or both. Call Gene at 855-411-0424. You can also follow him on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn.